But Richard, she is other things, too. She has responsibilities.
Richard frowned at the old man. And what are those other things? Zed leaned back a little.
It's not for me to say. She's the one to answer that. I would have thought she would have done so by now.
The old man put his arm around Richard's big shoulders.
If it makes you feel any better, the only reason she hasn't is because she cares for you more than she should. She is afraid of losing your friendship.
You know about her secrets, and Chase knows. I can see it in his eyes. Everyone knows but me. She tried to tell me tonight, but she couldn't. She shouldn't worry about losing my friendship. That won't happen.
Richard, she is a wonderful person, but she is not the one for you. She can't be that.
Why? Zed plucked something off his sleeve as he spoke, avoiding Richard's eyes.
I gave my word I would allow her to be the one to tell you. You will just have to trust me. She cannot be what you want. Find another girl. The land is awash with them. Why, half of all the people are girls. There are plenty to pick from. Pick another.
Richard drew his knees up, folded his arms across them, looking away.
All right.
Zed looked up in surprise, then smiled and patted his young friend's back.
All right, on one condition,
Richard added as he scanned the boundary woods.
You answer one question, honestly. Toasted Toad's honest. If you can answer yes, then I will do as you ask.
One? Only one question?
Zed asked cautiously, putting a bony finger to his thin bottom lip.
One question.
Zed thought about it a minute.
Very well. One question.
Richard turned his fierce eyes to the old man.
Before you married your wife, if someone... Tell you what, let's make it even easier for you to say yes. If someone you trusted, a friend, someone you loved like a father, if that person had come to you and said, pick another, would you have done so?
Zed looked away from Richard's eyes and took a deep breath.
Bags! You would think by now I would have learned not to let a seeker ask me a question.
He picked up the cheese and took a bite.
I thought as much.
Zed threw the cheese away into the darkness.
That doesn't change the facts, Richard. It will not work between you two. I'm not saying this to hurt you. I love you like a son. If I could change the way the world works, I would. I wish it were not so, for your sake. But there is no way for it to work. Kaylin knows it, and if you try, you will only hurt her. I know you don't want that.
Richard's voice was calm, quiet. You said it yourself. I am the seeker. There is a way, and I will find it. Zed shook his head sadly.
I wish it were so, my boy, but it is not.
What am I to do?
Richard asked in a broken whisper. His old friend put his skinny arms around him and hugged him close in the darkness. Richard felt numb.
Just... be her friend, Richard. That's what she needs. But you can be nothing more.
Richard nodded in Zed's arms. After a few minutes, the seeker, a suspicious look in his eye, pushed away, holding the wizard at arm's length.
What is it you came out here for?
To sit with a friend.
Richard shook his head.
You came out here as wizard, away from the others, to counsel the seeker. Now, tell me why you're here.
Very well. I came here in my capacity as wizard to tell the seeker he almost made a serious mistake today.
Richard took his hands from Zed's shoulders, but continued to hold his gaze.
I know that. A seeker cannot put himself at risk when by so doing he puts everyone else at risk.
But you are going to do it anyway,
Zed pressed. When you named me Seeker, you took the bad with the good. I'm new at the responsibilities of the position. It's hard for me to see a friend in trouble and not help. I know I can't afford that luxury anymore. Consider me reprimanded.
Zed smiled.
Well, that part went well.
He sat a minute. His smile faded.
But, Richard, the issue is bigger than just what happened today. You must understand that, as Seeker, you may cause the death of innocent people. In order to succeed in stopping Rawl, you may have to turn away from those who might be saved with your help. A soldier knows that on the battlefield, if he bends to help a downed comrade, he might take a sword in the back. And so, if he is to win, he must fight on despite the cries for help from his fellows. You must be able to do this to win. It may be the only way. You must steel yourself to it. This is a struggle for survival, and in this battle, the ones crying for help probably won't be soldiers, but innocents. Dark and Rawl will kill anyone to win. Those who fight on his side will do the same. You may have to do the same. Like it or not, the aggressor makes the rules. You must play by them, or you will surely die by them.
How could anyone fight on his side? Dark and Rawl wants to dominate everyone, to be the master of all. How could they fight for him? The wizard leaned back against the rock and looked out over the hills, as if seeing more than was there. His tone was sorrowful.
Because, Richard, many people must be ruled to thrive. In their selfishness and greed, they see free people as their oppressors. They wish to have a leader who will cut the taller plants so the sun will reach them. They think no plant should be allowed to grow taller than the shortest, and in that way give light to all. They would rather be provided a guiding light, regardless of the fuel, than light a candle themselves. Some of them think that when Rawl wins, he will smile on them and they will be rewarded, and so they are as ruthless as he to gain his favor. Some are simply blind to the truth and fight for the lies they hear, and some find, once that guiding light is lit, that they are wearing chains, and then it is too late.
Zed smoothed his sleeves down his arms as he sighed.
There have always been wars, Richard. Every war is a murderous struggle between foes, and yet no army has ever marched into battle thinking that the Creator has sided with their enemy.
Richard shook his head.
It doesn't make sense. I am quite sure that Rawl's followers think we are bloodthirsty monsters, capable of anything. They will have been told endless tales of their enemies' ruthless brutality. I'm sure none of them know much about Dark and Rawl except what they have been told by Dark and Rawl.
The wizard frowned, his intelligent eyes sharp.
It may be a perversion of logic, but that makes it no less threatening or deadly. Rawl's followers need only to crush us. They don't have to understand anything else, but for you to win against a stronger foe, you must use your head.
Richard ran his fingers through his hair. That leaves me stuck in an awfully tight crack. I may have to let innocent people die, yet I can't kill Dark and Rawl. Zed gave him a meaningful look.
No, I never said you couldn't kill Dark and Rawl. I said you couldn't use the sword to kill him.
Richard looked intently over at his old friend, the moonlight dim on the other's angular face. Sparks of thought lit in the darkness of his mood.
Zed,
he asked quietly, have you had to do that? Have you had to let innocent people die? Zed's face turned hard and pensive.
In the last war, and again now as we speak, Kaelin told me Rawl kills people to get my name. No one can give it, but he continues to kill in the hope someone will finally offer it. I could turn myself over to him to stop the killing, But then I wouldn't be able to help defeat him, and many more would die.
It's a painful choice.
Let a few die horribly, or let even more die horribly.
I'm sorry, my friend. Richard wrapped his cloak tighter about himself, chilled from without and from within. He looked back out over the still landscape, then back at Zed. I met the Night Wisp, Shar, before she died. She gave her life to get Kaelin here, so others might live. Kaelin also bears the burden of letting others die.
She does, Zed said softly. It makes my heart ache to know the things that girl's eyes have seen, and the things your eyes may have to see.
It makes my problem about the two of us seem pretty small.
Zed's expression was gentle with compassion.
But not hurt any less.
Richard made another scan of the countryside. Zed, one more thing. Before we reached your house, I offered Kaelin an apple. Zed gave a surprised laugh.
You offered a red fruit to someone from the Midlands. That's tantamount to a death threat, my boy. In the Midlands, red fruit of any kind is deadly poison.
Yes, I know that now, but I didn't at the time.
Zed leaned over, lifting an eyebrow.
What did she say?
Richard looked at him sideways.
It isn't what she said. It's what she did. She grabbed me by the throat. For a moment, I could see in her eyes that she was going to kill me. I don't know how she was going to kill me, but I'm sure she was going to do it. She hesitated long enough for me to explain. The point is, she was my friend, and she had saved my life several times, but in that instant she was going to kill me.
Richard paused.
That's part of what you are saying, isn't it?
Zed let out a long breath and nodded.
It is. Richard, if you suspected I was a traitor, weren't sure, just suspected, and you knew that if it were true our cause would be lost, would you be able to kill me? If you had no time or way to find the truth, only the strong belief I was a traitor, and only you knew, could you kill me on the spot? Could you come at me, your old friend, with lethal intent, with enough violence to see the job done?
Zed's stare burned into him. Richard was stunned.
I don't know.
Well, you had better know that you could, or you have no business going after all. You won't have the resolve to live, to win. You may be called upon to make a life-and-death decision instantly. Kaelin knows this. She knows the consequences if she fails. She has the resolve.
She hesitated, though. From what you're saying, she made a mistake. I could have overpowered her. She should have killed me before I had a chance to.
Richard frowned.
And she would have been wrong.
Zed shook his head slowly.
Don't flatter yourself, Richard. She had her hand on you. Anything you would have done wouldn't have been quick enough. All it would have taken is a thought on her part. She was in control and could afford to give you the chance to explain. She made no mistake.
A little shaken, Richard still wasn't ready to concede the issue.
But you couldn't be a traitor to us, just as I would never hurt her.
I don't see the point. The point is, even though I wouldn't, if I did, you have to be prepared to act. You have to have the strength to do even that, if necessary. The point is that even though Kaelin knew you were her friend and wouldn't hurt her, when she thought you were trying to, she was prepared to act. If you hadn't quickly made her believe you, she would have.
Richard sat in silence for a moment, watching his friend.
Zed, if it were the other way around, if you thought I was a danger to our cause, well, you know, could you...
The wizard leaned back, frowning, and without a hint of emotion in his voice said,
"In a twinkling,
The answer appalled Richard, but he understood what his friend was telling him, even if the scenario seemed far-fetched. Anything less than total commitment could spell their failure. If they faltered, Rawl would not be merciful. They would die. It was that simple.
"Still want to be Seeker?" Zed asked.
Richard stared out at nothing.
"Yes." "Scared?"
"To the bone." Zed patted his knee.
"Good. Me too. I would worry only if you were not."
The Seeker gave the wizard an icy glare.
"I intend to make Dark and Rawl afraid, too."
Zed smiled and nodded.
"You are going to make a good Seeker, my boy. Have faith."
Richard gave a mental shudder at the thought of Kaelin killing him just for offering her an apple. He frowned.
"Zed, why are all red fruits in the Midlands deadly poison? It isn't natural."
The wizard gave a sorrowful shake of his head.
"Because, Richard, children like red fruit."
Richard's frown deepened.
"That doesn't make any sense."
Zed looked down, pushing a bony finger at the dirt for a moment.
"It was about this time of year, in the last war. The harvests were in. I had found a constructed magic. That's a magic made by wizards of long ago. Something like the boxes of Auden. It was a poison magic, specific to color and only able to cast one spell, one time. I wasn't sure how it was used, but I knew it was dangerous."
Zed took a deep breath and put his hands in his lap.
"Anyway, Panis Rahl got his hands on it and figured out how to make it work. He knew children loved fruit and wanted to strike a blow at our hearts. He used the magic to poison all red fruit. It's a little like the poison of a snake vine, slow at first. It took time for us to realize what caused the fever and death. Panis Rahl deliberately chose something he could be sure children, not just the adults, would eat."
His voice was barely audible as he looked out into the darkness.
"A lot of people died. A lot of children."
Richard's eyes were wide.
"If you found it, how did he get hold of it?"
Zed looked into Richard's eyes with an expression that could have frozen a summer day.
"They had a student, a young man I was training. One day, I chanced upon him tinkering with something he shouldn't have been. I had an odd doubt about him. I knew something was wrong. But I was very fond of him, and so I didn't act upon my suspicion. Instead, I decided to think on it for the night. The next morning, he was gone, and so was the constructed magic I had found. He had been a spy for Panis Rahl. If I had acted when I should have, and killed him, all those people, all those children, wouldn't have died."
Richard swallowed.
"Zed, you couldn't have known."
He thought that maybe the old man was going to yell or cry or storm off. But instead, he only shrugged.
"Learn from my mistake, Richard. If you do, then all those lives won't have been lost for nothing. Maybe their story can be a lesson that will help save everyone from what Dark and Rawl will do if he wins."
Richard rubbed his arms, trying to work a bit of warmth back into them.
"Why isn't the red fruit in Westland poison?"
"Oh, magic has limits. This had a limit of distance from where it was used. It stretched as far as where the boundary between Westland and the Midlands went up. The boundary couldn't be put up where any of the poison spell was, or Westland would have had magic in it."
Richard sat in the dark, cold silence and thought for a time. At last, he asked, "Is there any way to get rid of it? To make the red fruit no longer poison?" Zed smiled. Richard thought it an odd thing to do, but he was glad to see it.
"Thinking like a wizard, my boy. Thinking how to undo magic."
He frowned in thought as he looked out into the night again.
There might be a way to remove the spell. I would have to study it and see what I could do. If we can defeat Darkin Rawl, I intend to put my mind to the task.
Good. Richard tugged his cloak tighter. Everyone should be able to eat an apple when they want, especially children. He looked over at the old man.
Zed, I promise I will remember your lesson. I won't let you down. I won't let all those people who died be forgotten.
Zed smiled and gave Richard's back an affectionate rub. The two friends sat in silence, sharing the stillness of the night and the quiet of each other's understanding, thinking about what they could not know, what was to come. Richard thought about what needed to be done, about Panis Rawl and about Darkin Rawl. He thought about how hopeless everything seemed, thinking about the solution, he told himself, not the problem. You are the seeker.
I need you to do something, wizard. I think it is time for us to disappear. Rawl has followed us long enough. What can you do about that cloud?
You know, I think you're right. I only wish I knew how it was hooked to you, so I could unhook it, but I can't figure it out. So, I will have to do something else.
He contemplatively drew his finger and thumb down the sharp sides of his jaw.
Has it rained, or been overcast since it first started following you?
Richard thought back, trying to remember every day. Most of the time he had been in a fog over his father's murder. It seemed so long ago.
The night before I found the snake vine, it rained in the Ven, but by the time I got there, it had cleared off.
No, no rain.
I don't remember it being cloudy since my father's murder. At least, nothing more than a few high, thin clouds.
What does that mean? Well, it means I think there is a way to fool the cloud, even if I can't unhook it. Since the sky has been clear all that time, that means Rawl probably has been responsible. He has moved the other clouds away so he could easily find this one. Simple, but effective.
How could he move the clouds away?
He put a spell on this one to repel other clouds, and somehow hooked this one to you.
Then why don't you put a stronger spell on it to attract other clouds? Before he realizes it, it'll be lost, and he won't be able to find it to try to outdo your magic. If he does use stronger magic to move the clouds away to find this one, he won't know what you have done, and the stronger spell that pushes the clouds away will break the hook.
Zed gave him an incredulous look. His eyes blinked.
Bags, Richard, you have gotten it exactly right. My boy, I think you would make an excellent wizard.
No thanks. I already have one impossible job.
Zed drew back a little and frowned, but didn't say anything. His thin hand reached into his robes and pulled out a rock, tossing it on the ground in front of them. He stood, and his fingers spun around in a circle over the little rock until, suddenly, it popped into a large rock.
Zed, that's your cloud rock. Actually, my boy, it's a wizard's rock. My father gave it to me long ago.
The wizard's fingers stirred faster and faster until light came forth, sparkles and colors swirling around. He continued to stir, mixing and blending the light. There was no sound, only the pleasant smell of a spring rain. At last, the wizard seemed satisfied.
Step up on the rock, my boy.
Unsure at first, Richard stepped into the light. It tingled and felt warm against his skin, as if he were lying in the hot summer sun without clothes after a swim. He let himself bask in the warm, safe feeling, gave himself over to it. His hands floated outward from his sides until they were horizontal. He tilted his head back, took deep breaths, and closed his eyes. It felt wondrous, like floating in water, only he was floating in light. Exhilaration soaked through him. His mind felt a buoyant, timeless connection to everything around him. He was one with the trees, the grass, the bugs, the birds, the animals all around, the water, the very air itself, not a separate being, but part of a whole. He understood the interconnection of everything in a new way, saw himself as inconsequential and empowered at the same time. He saw the world through the eyes of all the creatures around him. It was a shocking, marvelous insight. He let himself soar into a bird that flew overhead, saw the world through its eyes, hunted with it, hungry and needful for mice, watched the campfire below, the people sleeping. Richard let his identity scatter to the winds. He became no one and everyone, felt the heat of their needs, smelled their fear, tasted their joy, understood their desires, and then let it all melt away into nothingness, until there was a void where he stood, alone in the universe, the only living thing, the only thing existing at all. Then he let the light flood through him, light that brought forth the others that had used this very rock. Zed's father, and the wizards before that, for untold years, thousands of years, one and all. Their essence flowed through him, shared themselves with him as tears streamed down his cheeks at the wonder of it all. Zed's hands sprang forward, loosing his magic dust. It swirled about Richard, glittering fluidly until he was at the center of its vortex. The sparkles tightened their rotation and gathered at his chest. With a tinkling sound like a crystal chandelier in the wind, the dust climbed away into the sky as if climbing a kite string, taking the sound with it as it went, higher and higher until it reached the cloud. The cloud took in the magic dust and was lit from within by roiling colors. All across the horizon, lightning flashed, ragged streaks ripping this way and that, called forth, eager, expectant. All at once, the lightning stopped. The illumination in the cloud faded and was gone, and the light from the wizard's rock pulled itself inward until it was extinguished. There was sudden silence. Richard was there again, standing on a simple rock. He looked, wide-eyed, at Zed's smiling face. "Zed," he whispered, "now I know why you stand on this rock all the time. I've never felt anything like that in my life. I had no idea." Zed smiled knowingly. "You're a natural, my boy. You held your arms just right. Your head had the proper tilt, and you even arched your back correctly. You took to it like a duckling to a pond. You have all the makings of a fine wizard." He leaned forward gleefully. "Now, just try to imagine doing it naked." "It makes a difference?" Richard asked in amazement. "Of course! The clothes interfere with the experience." Zed put his arm around Richard's shoulder. "Someday, I will let you try it." "Zed, why did you have me do that? It wasn't necessary. You could have done it." "How do you feel now?"
"I don't know."
"Different. Relaxed, more clear-headed. I guess not as overpowered, not as depressed."
"That's why I let you do it, my friend. Because you needed it. You have had a hard night. I can't change the problems, but I could help you feel better."
"Thank you, Zed."
"Go get some sleep. It's my watch now."
He gave Richard a wink.
"If you ever change your mind about becoming a wizard, I would be proud to welcome you into the Brotherhood."
Zed held up his hand. Out of the darkness, the piece of cheese he had thrown away floated back to him. Chapter 14. Chase reined in his horse.
"Here, this will be a good place."
He led the other three off the trail through an open tract of long dead spruce, the silver-gray skeleton standing bare of all but a few branches and an occasional wisp of dull green moss. The soft ground was littered with the rotting corpses of the former monarchs. Brown bogweed, its broad, flat leaves laid down in haphazard fashion by past storms, looked like a tangled sea of dead snakes underfoot. The horses picked their way carefully among the tangle. Warm air, heavy with humidity, carried the fetid smell of decay. A fog of mosquitoes followed them as they went, the only things alive as far as Richard could tell. As open as this place was, little brightness was offered by the sky as a thick, uniform overcast of clouds hung oppressively close to the ground. Trailers of mist dragged across the silver spikes of the trees that remained standing, leaving them wet and slick. Chase led the way for Zed and then Kalin, with Richard following behind, watching over them as they twisted their way along. Visibility was limited to less than a few hundred feet, and even though Chase didn't seem to be concerned, Richard kept a sharp lookout. Anything could sneak up close before they would be able to see it. All four swatted at the mosquitoes, and except for Zed, they kept their cloaks tight for protection. Zed, who shunned wearing a cloak, nibbled on the remnants of lunch, looking about as if on a sightseeing excursion. Richard had an excellent sense of direction, but was glad they had Chase to lead them. Everything in the bog looked the same, and he knew from experience how easy it would be to become lost. Since Richard had stood on the Wizard's Rock the night before, he felt the weight of his responsibilities less of a burden and more of an opportunity to be a part of something right. He didn't feel the danger any less, but felt more strongly his need to be part of stopping Rawl. He saw his part in the scheme of things as a chance to help others who had no chance to fight Darken Rawl. He knew he couldn't back away. That would be the end of him and a lot of others. Richard watched Kalin's body sway as she rode, her shoulders moving to the horse's rhythm. He wished he could take her to places he knew of in the Heartland Woods, secret places of beauty and peace, far back in the mountains, show her the waterfall he had found and the cave behind it, have lunch by a quiet forest pond with her, take her into town, buy her something pretty, take her someplace, any place, where she would be safe. He wanted her to be able to smile without having to worry every minute if her enemies were getting closer. After last night, he felt that the first part, his fantasy of being with her, was just an empty wish. With a hand in the air, Chase brought them to a halt.
This is the place.
Richard looked around. They were still in the middle of an endless, dead, dried-up bog. He didn't see any boundary. It all looked the same in every direction. They tethered their horses to a fallen log and followed Chase a short distance farther on foot.
The boundary, Chase announced, holding his arm out at the introduction.
I don't see anything, Richard said. Chase smiled.
Watch.
He walked on, steadily, slowly. As he went forward, a green glow formed around him. At first, hardly perceptible. It grew stronger, brighter, until after another 20 steps, it became a sheet of green light pressing against him as he proceeded, stronger close to him and fading away about 10 feet to the sides and above, growing larger with every step. It was like green glass, wavy and distorted, but Richard could see through it, see the dead trees beyond. Chase stopped and returned. The green sheet and then the green glow faded and vanished as he came back. Richard had always thought the boundary would be a wall of some sort, something that could be seen.
That's it?
Richard felt a little let down.
What more do you want? Now, watch this.
Chase searched the ground, picking up branches, testing each for strength. Most were rotten and broke easily. Finally, he found one about 12 feet long that was strong enough to suit him. He carried it back into the glowing light until he reached the sheet of green. Holding the branch by the thick end, he passed the rest through the wall. 6 feet away, the end of the stick disappeared as he pushed it forward, until he was holding what appeared to be a 6-foot stick instead of a 12-foot branch. Richard was perplexed. He could see beyond the wall, but not the other end of the stick. It didn't seem possible. As soon as Chase had pushed the stick in as far as he dared, it jumped violently. There was no sound. He hauled it back and returned to the others. He held the splintered end of a now 8-foot stick toward them. The end was covered with slaver.
Harthounds, he said with a grin.
Zed seemed bored. Kalin was not amused. Richard was astounded. Since he seemed to have an audience of only one, Chase grabbed a fistful of Richard's shirt and dragged him off.
Come on, I'll show you what it's like.
Chase locked his right arm together with Richard's left as they proceeded, cautioning Richard.
Go slow. I'll let you know when we've gone far enough. Keep hold of my arm.
They walked ahead slowly. Green light began. With each step, it became more intense, but it was different from when Richard had watched Chase go in by himself. Then, the light had been to Chase's sides and above him. Now, it was all about. There was a buzzing sound like a thousand bumblebees. With each step, the sound became deeper, but not louder. The green light became deeper, too, and the surrounding wood darker, as if night were falling. Then, the sheet of green was in front of them, materializing out of nothing, with the green glow everywhere else. Richard could hardly see the woods anymore. He looked back, and couldn't see Zed or Kalin at all.
Easy now, Chase warned.
They pushed against the green sheet as they stepped slowly ahead. Richard could feel the pressure of it against his body. Then, everything else blacked out, as if he were in a cave at night with a green glow around Chase and himself. Richard held Chase's arm tighter. The buzzing felt like it was vibrating his chest. With the next step, the green sheet of the wall changed suddenly.
Far enough,
Chase said, his voice echoing. The wall had become darkly transparent, as if Richard were looking into a deep pond in the dark woods. Chase stood still, watching him. There were forms on the other side. Inky black shapes wavered in the gloom on the other side of the wall, specters floating in the deep, the dead in their lair. Something closer and faster moved nearer to them.
The hounds, Chase said.
Richard felt an odd sensation of longing, for the blackness. The humming wasn't a sound, he realized. It was voices, that murmured his name. Thousands of distant voices called out to him. The black shapes were gathering, calling to him, holding their arms out to him. He felt a sudden, unexpected stab of loneliness, felt the solitude of his life, of all life. Why did he need the pain when they were waiting, to welcome him? Never alone again. The black shapes drifted closer in the gloom, calling to him, and he began to see their faces. It was as if he were looking through murky water. They came closer. He longed to step through, to be there with them. And then he saw his father. Richard's heart pounded. His father called out to him mournfully in a long, sorrowful cry. His arms thrust out, trying desperately to clutch for his son. He was just beyond the wall. Richard's heart felt as if it were going to rip with yearning. It had been so long since he had seen his father. He wailed for him, hungered to touch him. He wouldn't have to be afraid ever again. He had only to reach his father. Then he would be safe. Safe forever. Richard tried to reach out to his father, tried to go to him, tried to step through the wall. Something was holding his arm. Irritated, he pulled harder. Someone held him from his father. He screamed for whoever held him to let go. His voice sounded hollow, empty. Then he was being pulled away from his father. His anger roared to life. Someone was trying to drag him back by his arm. In a rage, he grabbed his sword. A big hand clamped over his with an iron grip. Screaming in unrestrained fury, he struggled mightily to free the sword, but the big hands held tight, dragging him stumbling from his father. Richard struggled, but was hauled away. The green wall came up suddenly in place of the darkness as he was pulled back. Chase was dragging him away from it through the green light. The world returned with a sickening jolt. The dry, dead bog returned. Suddenly aware, Richard was appalled at what he had almost done. Chase released his sword hand. Shaking, Richard put it on the big man's shoulder for support, struggling to catch his breath as they stepped out of the green light. Relief washed over him. Chase leaned over a little, searching his eyes.
All right.
Richard nodded, too overwhelmed to speak. The sight of his father had brought back the devastating grief. He had to concentrate just to breathe, to stand. His throat hurt. He realized he had been choking, but hadn't been aware of it at the time. Terror raced through Richard's mind as he realized how close he had come to stepping through the wall, to death. He had been totally unprepared for what had happened. If Chase hadn't been there holding on to him, he would be dead now. He had tried to give in to the underworld. He felt as if he didn't know himself. How could he have wanted to give himself over to it? Was he that weak? That frail? Richard's head swirled with pain. He couldn't clear the vision of his father's face from his mind, the way his father longed for him, called to him, so desperate. He ached to be with him. It would have been so easy. The image haunted his mind, refusing to let go. He didn't want to let it go. He wanted to go back. He could feel the pull even as he resisted. Kaylin was there, waiting for them at the edge of the green light as they emerged. She swept her arm protectively around his waist and tugged him away from Chase. With her other hand, she grabbed hold of his jaw, turning his head, making him look at her.
Richard, listen to me. Think of something else. Concentrate. You have to think of something else. I want you to remember every intersection on every trail in the Heartland. Can you do that for me? Please? Do it now. Remember every one for me.
He nodded and started to remember the trails. Kaylin turned to Chase in a fury, slapping him across his face as hard as she could.
You bastard! She screamed. Why would you do that to him?
Throwing all her weight into it, she slapped him again, her hair tossing across her face. Chase didn't try to stop her.
You did it on purpose! How could you do that?
She swung at him a third time, but this time he grabbed her wrist in mid-swing.
Do you want me to tell you, or do you wish to go on hitting me?
She jerked her hand away, glaring at him, her chest heaving. Some of her hair was stuck sideways across her face.
Going through Kingsport is dangerous. It isn't straight through. It twists and turns. Some places it's very narrow, the two walls of the boundary almost touching. One step either way, and you're gone. You've been through the boundary, so has Zed. You both understand. You can't see it until you start in, otherwise you don't know where it is. I only know because I've spent my life out here. It's even more dangerous now because it's failing, even easier to walk through it. When you get in the pass, if something started chasing you, Richard could run into the underworld without even knowing what it was.
That's no excuse. You could have warned him.
I've never had a child yet who had the proper respect for fire until they put their hand in it once. No amount of telling is worth doing it once. If Richard didn't understand what it was like before he went into Kingsport, he wouldn't come out the other side. Yes, I took him in there on purpose. To show him, to keep him alive.
You could have told him.
Chase shook his head.
No, he had to see it.
Enough,
Richard said, his head clear at last. They all turned to him.
A day has yet to go by when one of you three doesn't scare the wits out of me. But I know you all have my best interests at heart. Right now, we have more important things to worry about. Chase, how do you know the boundary is failing? What's different?
The wall is breaking down. Before, you couldn't see through the green into the darkness. You couldn't see anything on the other side.
Chase is right, Zed offered. I could see it from here.
How long until it fails? Richard asked the wizard. Zed shrugged.
It's hard to tell.
Then guess, Richard shot back. Give me some kind of idea, your best guess.
It will last at least 2 weeks, but not more than 6 or 7.
Richard thought a minute. Can you use your magic to strengthen it?
I don't have that kind of power.
Chase, Do you think Rawl knows about Kingsport?
How should I know?
Well, has anyone come through the pass? Chase thought about the question.
Not that I know of.
I doubt it, Zed added. Rawl can travel the underworld. He doesn't need the pass. He's bringing the boundary down. I don't think he cares about a little pass.
Caring is different from knowing, Richard said. I don't think we should be standing here, and I'm worried he might know where we're going. Kaelin pulled the hair off her face.
What do you mean?